Most interesting, as Frank spoke about his friend at work, that the individual talked about God, but when Frank brought in the Lord Jesus, that some people just don't take it in, that Jesus Christ is God. And so most of us all know that when we look at Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1, it makes it very clear that Jesus is the one that created the heavens and the earth. Now, I've asked Ray Mishner there if he would just pass out some mints that I had left over from the dinner today, if you can answer the questions, all right? The first one's a very simple question. You could just have to look it up if you don't know. And when you come to the first chapter of Genesis, how many verses do you have? You have to look in your Bibles if you don't know. Okay, Ruth? Okay. Now, who can tell me how many times God is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1? Who can tell me how many times? Joe? Almost, Joe. Okay, that's almost right. Give him the mint anyways, because he's at least alive. The rest of you aren't even, you know, okay? There is 32 times that God is mentioned in Genesis chapter 1. Now, if you look at the pronouns, you will have that it's mentioned 43 times when you have the personal pronouns attached to that. Now, that brings it very clear that the first chapter of Scripture brings us into the presence of God and keeps us there all the way through the chapter. And that's why this chapter is so hated by Satan. Because if you abandon chapter 1 of Genesis, then Satan has the victory and has won. It's most important to understand that. Now, if the Holy Spirit cannot be trusted when he tells of creation, then how can he be trusted when he tells of salvation? And so it's most important to see that. So the opening statement of Scripture, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and there is no attempt whatsoever, no attempt at all, to prove that God is. We don't have to prove it. It's just a statement of fact. And the first and foremost truth is that God is. Now, in one statement, in the beginning, God, the Holy Spirit, sweeps aside atheism by asserting his existence. It sweeps aside polytheism by declaring himself to be one. There is only one God, as you see it. And then it also gets rid of pantheism by separating himself from matter. So right away in that opening statement, it's most important. So then we come to John chapter 1, and there we have, not from the beginning, but, who said that? Thank you, Sandy, give her the peppermint. In the beginning, it's not from the beginning, in the beginning, God, yes, created the heaven and the earth, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, okay? Not only was it predicted he was coming, but predicted he would come through the royal line. So, from the Old Testament, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, this is a simple question. How many years are there? Not 450. What did you say, Paul? 400. Good. There's 400 years, Raymond, look alive. Raymond? Yeah, not for Jim, for Paul. For 400 years. Those 400 years are known as what years? Silent years. Okay, Jason, I heard your voice first. Why are they referred to as silent years? Jim? There's no prophets during that time. That's one reason. But there is no what during that whole 400 years. There's no what? Thank you, Larry. I can't hear you. That's true. There's no communication from God. Okay. But in regards to Israel, what is the, why is it the silent years? Okay. Raymond, are you raising your hand? Raymond's here? Oh, no. Okay. I can't hear you, Karen. What? No, that's what he said. No prophecies. That's true. But all this time, there is not what that's so important for Israel that Jesus Christ is. So there is, okay, Raymond, there is no mention of a king. There's no history. The history of Israel has come to a stop, so there's 400 silent years. There's no history at all of the Jewish nation. There's no one sitting on the throne. Okay. So then we come to Matthew chapter 1. We'll look at Matthew chapter 1, and we're also going to look at the Gospel of Luke. But when we come to Matthew chapter 1, we begin with a genealogy, and the purpose of the genealogy is for what purpose? Thank you, Jonathan. Oh, who was that, Chris? Go ahead. Absolutely. So if you're showing the genealogy from David the Christ, okay, what is the purpose of that? Jim? Yes, and so it gives him the regal and the legal right to the throne. Okay, Jim had that question there, right? Good. Now, the king would come to his own people, according to the Old Testament, and they would be waiting for him, but they didn't recognize him when he came. Now, the Roman authorities ask, according to Matthew chapter 27, what? Verse 11. What do the Roman authorities scale? Yes, art thou the king of the Jews? That's the question by the Roman authorities. The soldiers, when they saw the Lord Jesus there as they were crucifying, according to Matthew chapter 27, that they, what did they do, the soldiers? Say that again, please. Yes, but what did they do to him in regards to the fact we're talking about the king? Thank you, Jim. They mocked him as the king. Okay. Then, on the cross, he had an accusation which was written. Thank you, Frank. Okay. Yes, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Pilate said to the people, what? No, in regards to the king. No! What? Thank you, Jason. Yes, but how did he start with that? Okay. Well, no, remember he said, behold your king. Okay? Now, the people knew that the king was coming. Oh, listen. All these different people made reference to Jesus Christ, who is the king. And then we find that they would answer. What did they answer when he said, "Behold, your king"? We what? We have no king but Caesar. Good. Thank you, Jonathan was there first. All right. Now, they were expecting him to come in power and glory, believing the promised one would deliver them from the Roman yoke. That's what they were looking for. Okay. Now, this here genealogy, as was already mentioned, presents Jesus Christ as the king. 400 years of silence. No king. All right? What are the two words that broke the silence? Who said it? Tim, what did you say?
Fear not.
Fear not. Right. Fear not was the first two words to break the silence. Who was the fear not said to first? Pardon? I can't hear you, Tim. No. The first, okay, Zechariah. Okay, the first fear not was said to an old man. The silence was broken again with a fear not, and the second time, same two words, but it was said to who?
Mary.
Okay, I think the first person I heard over there was Charlie, okay? Now, so the first time, you have the fear not to an old man. The second time, the fear not, which is about 6 months later, is to a young woman. The third fear not comes to? No. Joseph. Right. Thank you, Jim. To Joseph. The third fear not comes to Joseph, which is about 3 months later. So you have an old man, you have a young woman, and you got a troubled young man. So then, approximately 6 months later, the fear not comes again. To who?
Shepherds.
To the shepherds, right. Okay. And those shepherds are described as? As what? As poor shepherds. Okay. Those poor shepherds. So we have, not only is the fear not to an old man, not only is it a fear not to the young, not only is the fear not to the troubled, but the fear not is to the poor. Oh my, the silence was broken, and so we find that there we have, it doesn't make any difference whether you're old, young, troubled, or poor, the message to you is fear not. Now, Matthew, of course, gives, as already been stated, the legal right to the throne through the stepfather, Joseph. Now, that's important to understand. It gives him the legal right. Now, we come to Luke's gospel, and we have him as the, not the, the son of in the same way as the king of Israel, we have him as the descendant, as the son of David, but it's coming from a different line. Who's David's son? Okay, Ruth?
Nathan.
Okay. Nathan we have in the Gospel of Luke. All right. Now, while you got your hands on Matthew chapter 1, I want you to notice that we got verse 6 we're going to read. And Jesse begat David, the king, and David's king begat Solomon. Okay? Now, drop down to verse 16. Genealogies are most important. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, who was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. And that's all right. Yes, that's the verse I want. Let me read it again, okay? And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. So from that verse, Joseph's father is Jacob. Thank you, Tim. You're alive. The rest of you should have all known that, okay? We just read that twice. Jacob is the father. Now, when we come over to the Gospel of Luke, the genealogy is chapter 3. Now, let's just look at chapter 3 for a minute. And when we look at chapter 3, we want to look at verse 31. Chapter 3 and verse 31, I think. Which was the son of Melea, which was the son of Menon, which was the son of Matthias, which was the son of Nathan, which was the son of David. There we are. We're talking about the genealogy coming from Nathan. Now, if you will, look at verse 23, okay? And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. All right? Was he the son of Heli? No, this is the same Joseph, if you'll follow through. This is Joseph, and Jesus himself, he was supposed, they supposed him to be the son of Joseph. How was he the son of Heli? No. How is my brother Paul the son of Mrs. Palmer? By marriage. Because of marriage. That's why it's so important to understand Luke, that when you're talking about the genealogy here, you have the genealogy, and maybe it's even listed in some of your Bibles, as the ancestry of Mary. This is who it is. This is where she came from. Okay. Now, that's important because of the fact, when you come to the ancestry of Mary, then you have how he can have the right to be the seed of David through Mary, okay? In order to be the king that he was born to be, okay, he had to have the legal right. And the legal right to the throne was only through the line of Solomon. That's the only way you could sit on the throne. So he was the son of David through the Solomon line. But why couldn't anyone else sit on the throne? Why couldn't any of the other sons now, as we come through the end of this, could not sit on the throne for those 400 years? Why? Okay. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 30, I think it is. Jeremiah 22, 30. All right. I'll let somebody read that. That's right.
Write me this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his day, for no man of his seed shall be prosper sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah.
Okay. So, this man was going to be childless, whose name was, if you look up the line in that their time, we're talking about Jehoiakim, all right? Or, as we find in verse 11 and 12 of this chapter, that his name is Jeconiah, but it's the same person, the Greek and the Hebrew words for the same name. Now, there was a curse placed on him. There was not going to be any more from the seed of David through Solomon, anyone that would sit on the throne. And for 400 years, there was no king. So, the Lord Jesus comes along, right? Okay. And the miracle of the virgin birth gives him the right, not only legally and regally from Solomon because of Joseph, but because of the virgin birth, he has the total right to be a son of David, and therefore he has the right of the throne. Now, that to me, you need to understand why we have the genealogies. They're just not written there, so we don't have the understanding of it. All right. When you come over to Genesis chapter 5, you have the generations of Adam. Good. And Adam is oftentimes referred to as the first Adam. Okay, and when he's referred to as the first Adam, we're talking about the first Adam because he was the head of the first creation. He was the head of it. And so that is the physical creation. But Jesus Christ is referred to as the or the last Adam. Both of those are right. Okay, second and last. Okay, because he is the head of the spiritual creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And there we have the spiritual creation. And there's not going to be another creation for man. That's it. And he is therefore the second Adam, or as referred to in the Word of God, as the last Adam. Now, when we have the genealogy, we have there in the genealogy a list of four women. Now, it's not a normal thing. In Matthew chapter 1 there, we have the four women that are mentioned. And who's going to mention the women to me? Rahab is one. Yes, Ruth is another. Tamar is the other. And Bathsheba. Very good. Now, when you come to, the Middle East and so forth like that, women, as a general thing, are never in genealogies. Women are looked down upon, and they're not given. But I think that it's very interesting to notice that you got these four women that are in this genealogy. Now, of the four women, you just heard them, three of them were the public sinners. Which one was not?
Ruth.
Right. Okay, Jim. All right. Two of them were Gentiles. Which two were Gentiles? Pardon? No, not Bathsheba and Rahab. Ruth and Rahab. Okay, Gail, Ruth and Rahab. All right. Now, that's very interesting also to see in the genealogy, because if you take that in or not. But Christ is coming to bring salvation, not only to sinners, such as we have mentioned there, three that are public sinners, but also it shows that his grace is going to be extended to Gentiles. Now that, to me, is very exciting to see that those women are mentioned. All right. We talked about the fact that he had to be of the legal line, And then he also had to come from the line of the, as we would say, not only the legal line, but also from the actual seed, to be there from the seed of where it comes from God, but was used of Mary. That would give him the lineal line or the lineal descent from David. Now, that problem, as we already talked about and we all know, was solved by the virgin birth. It's interesting, too, to notice in 1:16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary. Now, the whole terms change in words. What's the difference there now in that verse? That's right. Thank you, Frank. That's right. There's no begot. It's not that so-and-so begat so-and-so. That is dropped over and over throughout that chapter. That's what it is. So-and-so begat so-and-so. But here, there's no begot, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who was called the Christ. And so that's a very important thing. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in the days of Herod, who was the king of Judea. And at that time, we know the story about Zacharias, who was in the temple. And Zacharias' name means God remembrance. That's what his name means. He was married to a woman by the name of Elizabeth, which means God's oath. And he was of the course of Abijah in the, again, in the Greek, and Abijah in the Old Testament there. And he was of the course of Abijah or Abijah. How many courses were there? How many? No? No? 24. Good for you, Frank. Okay, 24 courses there were. And he was in that course. And only twice a year would he be journeying to Jerusalem to fulfill his office for a week, which was 6 days and 2 Sabbaths. Only twice a year would he do that, to come to Jerusalem. And Josephus tells us that approximately every time that they would come, there would be approximately 20,000 priests there in Jerusalem. And when they would come, only the lot would fall on who was to go in to offer the incense on the golden altar. And if your name was picked, you could only go once in your lifetime. Never more than once. And in this case, as we know, it was Zacharias who was picked to go. Now, as the incense was ascending and the fragrance was brought to the Lord, at the same time, the silver trumpet was being blown. And when the silver trumpet was blown, what were the people doing? Praying. Thank you. Good. I don't know who said that, but that's right. The people, thank you, Sandy, and the people were praying as and the incense was ascending. Now, as that was taking place, you'll remember the first fear not came to break the silence. And when the fear not came, you know the story, and I got to hurry through this because I want to just make this point. We find that it was told to Zechariah that he was going to be able to have his prayer answered. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, sometimes you pray, and when we pray, we want a prayer answered just like that. But this is a prayer that he and his wife made years ago. And as far as they were concerned, at this age, they weren't praying this prayer anymore. They had changed their prayer style, okay? They weren't praying that anymore. There comes a point where many of you have stopped praying for children, okay? And so they weren't praying that prayer, but the angel of the Lord said, your prayer has been heard and is answered. Now, Zechariah, as you know, he didn't believe that. So what happened is he was struck dumb. Yeah, he was struck dumb. Why would the Lord have struck him dumb? Exactly. And so, what was he to do, Charlie? What was he to do after he got finished there? What was he to do as a priest? What was he to do? Okay, somebody else help him out. What was he to do after he was in and offered the incense? What was he to do? What was that? Yeah, and to do a what when he spoke? Jonathan, go ahead, that's right. Come out and speak to do what? To bless the people. Well, now wait a minute. If you don't believe what God is going to do, then how can you really bless the people? You can't. And so God struck him dumb. He had no blessing to give. He wasn't believing that God was able to do it. Now, so he was struck dumb. Now, you know the story is he goes home and he tells his wife what was going to happen. And I like her. Because, you see, it's altogether different than the man. She didn't have any doubt about that. Now, remember, Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, both of them were righteous before God. They believed what was written in the Old Testament. So they believed that what God did for Abraham and Sarah came to pass. You know, there's lots of times like that with us, right? Oh, yeah. God can do a miracle for them, but when it comes to me, no, we don't believe it. You got it? Zechariah had problems. You see, there's lots of times that people can trust the Lord for eternity, but they cannot trust the Lord for day-by-day living. We don't want to be hard on Zechariah because that's what his problem was. He could trust the Lord for eternity, but not for day-by-day living. Now, I just want to close. I know my time is gone, but we're going to just close with one portion that we're going to read from Luke chapter 1, and that is verses 31 through 33. And this comes to Mary when we find that Mary said these words, okay? Chapter 3, verse 31 of Luke, okay? Chapter 3. I'm in the wrong chapter. No, it's... yes, it is. Thank you. 131. Okay. Let's just read these words. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, this is speaking to Mary, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. That's a good portion, and seven times we have the word shall or shalt. The first one we have, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, speaks of his humility. The next one, and shall call his name Jesus, his humanity. He shall be great, his dignity, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God, to him, and it's in reference to his deity, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, that's his authority, okay, and he shall reign over Jacob for his sovereignty, and his kingdom there shall be no end, his eternity. Now, that's a tremendous thing, is to notice those things that were said to her, and our time is over, but I just thought maybe what we can say too, what Mary did, is in the verses there, and we can end with singing verses 47 and 49. Now, 47 and 49 is the song, okay? My soul doth magnify the Lord, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. It's starting with verse 46, I'm sorry. Okay, we'll try that one more time, and notice that Mary says that it's not her, but because of what he did for me. Yes, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is his name. Let's just try that one more time. My soul doth magnify the Lord, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. We'll just close in prayer. Father, again, we just bow in your presence. We just want to thank you for the Word of God. And how we thank you for the fact that you are the one that's interested in us. We don't understand that. That baffles us. But we thank you for not only coming to this earth and was born, but that you were willing to die. And we thank you for the fact that you're alive. And because you live, that we can live also. So we pray that each one of us will understand the Christmas season, understand what's taken place, and we ask thy blessing upon the word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.